Nolte, New York Times Disastrous Summer of Fake News and Public Meltdowns. By John Nolte on September 21, 2019. There are still a couple days of summer remaining, which gives the far-left New York Times plenty of time to publish another tsunami of fake news and have a few more of those glorious public meltdowns. Should that happen, this piece will be updated. June 24. Job eliminations hit New York Times. Summer opened for the Times with the news of coming job cuts, and then, as if to ensure this news came true, a long, hot summer of fake news and public meltdowns began. June 29. New York Times caught lying about that 17 intelligence agencies bunk. Although it has been well known for more than a year that the talking point about 17 intelligence agencies agreeing Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election is total bunk, only 4 of 17 believe this. The Times' biggest purveyor of lies and fake news, Ms. Maggie Haberman, tried to sneak it through again. Eventually, the paper was forced to publish a correction. July 9. New York Times calls for ban on sexist air conditioning. While enjoying the chilled air of its own 6,250-ton cooling system, the Times once again attempted to confuse Americans into believing that the shrill whine coming from a handful of neurotic she-babies was the fault of the patriarchy. August 6. New York Times allows Twitter mob to rewrite its headlines. Mark this day, for it was on this day that the Times stopped being a newspaper that reported the news and became a newspaper that made its handful of customers comfortable with the news. August 13. New York Times reports that lawns are racist. The same New York Times that employs at least 4 proven racists that we know of, documented below, described your front lawn as part of the colonizing of America, which transformed the landscape from pristine wilderness to identical rows of manicured nature. What's more, these lawns come on the backs of slaves. August 16. Executive editor Dean Baquet caught admitting newsroom built around Russia collusion hoax. After that disastrous headline debacle, executive editor Dean Baquet held an all-hands meeting that was supposed to be private. But not only did someone record the entire meeting, this very special whistleblower leaked it, which is how we know the world's most prestigious newspaper wasted 2+ years chasing the tail of the Russia collusion hoax. Baquet, it got trickier after, inaudible, went from being a story about whether the Trump campaign had colluded with Russia and obstruction of justice to being a more head-on story about the president's character. We built our newsroom to cover one story, and we did it truly well. Did it truly well. Tiny bit flat-footed. The only thing the Times did truly well was to make a horse's ass of itself obsessing over what everyone knew from the beginning was fake news. Executive editor Dean Baquet caught admitting news will come second to Trump's a racist. In this same meeting, Baquet was caught red-handed admitting that news will not drive the Times newsroom from here on. Rather, it will be racism. Not Joe Biden's or Ilhan Omar's obvious racism, but fabricated accusations of racism against Trump. I think that we've got to change. I mean, the vision for coverage for the next 2 years is what I talked about earlier. How do we cover a guy who makes these kinds of remarks? How do we cover the world's reaction to him? How do we do that while continuing to cover his policies? How do we cover America, that's become so divided by Donald Trump? How do we grapple with all the stuff you all are talking about? How do we write about race in a thoughtful way? Something we haven't done in a large way in a long time. That, to me, is the vision for coverage. You all are going to help us shape that vision. But I think that's what we're going to have to do for the rest of the next 2 years. And he wasn't kidding. Within a few days, that stupid 1619 project was launched. August 22. Anti-Semite discovered working at New York Times. No one less than the Times' own political editor, Tom Wright Mirsandi, who has been a senior staff editor at the New York Times for more than 5 years, was found to have a very troubling history of anti-Semitic tweets. The bigot still works there. August 27. New York Times columnist threatens man's job for calling him a bedbug. Some academic somewhere on Twitter snarked about Never Trump columnist Brett Stevens being a bedbug, and man baby Stevens lost his entitled mind over it. Stevens not only sent the guy a say it to my face email, but in an obvious effort to get him into professional trouble, he CC'd the guy's boss. September 1. New York Times columnist uses fake history to compare bedbug usage to Hitler. Not content to make a fool of himself freaking out over being called a bedbug, the Times allowed Stevens to manufacture a lie about bedbugs and the Holocaust. September 5. New York Times Maggie Haberman tweets hoax about Trump illegally seeing job stats in advance. Did POTUS get an advance look at numbers out tomorrow? The neurotic she baby tweeted. And try to spin them ahead of time, which is deeply questionable as an action by a president. September 11. New York Times blames 9/11 on airplanes. On the anniversary of 9/11, the Times reported it was airplanes that took aim at the World Trade Center, not Islamic terrorists. September 15. New York Times publishes six lies about Associate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. In a catastrophic attempt to destroy the life of Brett Kavanaugh and fuel an impeachment movement, the Times was caught spreading six lies. 1. Seven people back up Democrat activist Deborah Ramirez's assault claim against Kavanaugh. This is a lie. 2. A new Kavanaugh victim has been found. This is a lie. 3. A source for this new victim is Max Steyer, a nonpartisan, much respected mover and shaker in D.C. This is a lie. 4. The new victim's assault allegation has been corroborated. This is a lie. 5. It can be fun to have a penis thrust in your face at a party. What? 6. A lie of omission in not featuring the true scoop from their upcoming book, the one where we learn that a close friend of Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford, whose story has been completely debunked, said she has no confidence in Ford's story. This friend is Leland Kaiser, the woman Ford named as a witness. At least, that's the six we have found so far. September 16. New York Times shuts own Spanish language platform. Can you say learn to code in Espanol? September 17. Racist homophobe discovered at New York Times. No less than a Times fact-checker, Gina Cherilis, was found to have a long history of racist and homophobic tweets. The racist still works there. So far, including bigot Sarah Jiang, at least three racists have been discovered working at the Times and all three still work there. The unnamed anti-Semites who published this cartoon in April also remain employed. September 18. The New York Times blames men because three women are afraid to poop at work. The Times found a circle of three neurotic she-babies who are afraid to defecate at work and blamed this on the patriarchy. Dash. For as long as I can remember, the New York Times, on both its opinion and front page, has been a left-wing newspaper. But at least it was a serious newspaper and one that wanted to be taken seriously. Now the Times is basically a print edition of CNN. A joke, a punchline, where every bombshell it drops, you only have to wait a few days before it's exposed as fake news. Where its inane hot takes about air conditioning and workplace defecation read no different than a parody. Follow John Nolte on Twitter at NolteNC. Follow his Facebook page here.